Wade in the water. Wade in the water, children. Wade in the water. God's gonna trouble the water. Today's scripture is from the book of John, the fifth chapter. And I'm going to read from verse 5 to verse 18. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, in Hebrew called Bethzatha, which has five porticos. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew that he had been lying there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is troubled, and while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your pallet, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his pallet and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath, so the Jews said to the man who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your pallet." But he answered them, "The man who healed me said to me, 'Take up your pallet and walk.'" And they asked him, "Who is the man who told you to take up your pallet and walk?" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, as there was a crowd in the place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse befall you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this was why the Jews persecuted Jesus, because he did this on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is still working, and I am working." This was why the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also called God his own Father, making himself equal with God. This is God's word for us today. Thanks be to God. Let's set the stage for this story. Imagine a stone gateway. If you need to close your eyes to imagine, go right ahead. Imagine a stone gateway into the city of Jerusalem. Beside that stone gateway is a pool formed by a bubbling spring. It's a big enough pool that there are five archways surrounding it. All day long, people lounge at those archways. The scripture that I just read calls them porticos. Imagine a sort of a simple patio area surrounding the pool, but not a polished patio like you think of around a swimming pool. No, a rocky sort of place. The pool only bubbles once a day. And it isn't reliable. Nobody really knows what time it will bubble on any given day. When it does bubble, it's believed that the first person to enter it will be healed of whatever ails him. But only the first person will be healed. Just one a day. Meanwhile, there are people with all kinds of infirmities who are lying around on the steps by the porticos, waiting. Many of them, like the man that Jesus speaks with, have been there for long periods of time, waiting their turn. Those who have friends or family to help them can get to the pool faster than the others. So can those whose legs aren't affected by their illness. But we can deduce that those with mobility problems just can't get there fast enough to beat the others, and so they are out of luck. This man has been waiting 38 years on those steps by that pool. There are some other things that we can deduce about this scene that aren't specified, but we can just use deductive reasoning. We know that in any place where there is rumored to be healing, crowds gather, right? And where there are crowds, what do you have? You have people selling things, right? Everybody will take advantage of a marketing opportunity. And where there are crowds, there are food merchants, hot dog vendors, not in Jerusalem, not back then, but the equivalent of hot dog vendors, maybe falafel. Maybe there were even people with little vials of water from the pond, selling them for people, for tourists to take home to heal other people. We know that wouldn't happen, but people will sell you anything, won't they? We can deduce a few more things. It's a crowd scene and probably noisy. It must have been believed that you had to dash for the water when it started to bubble in order to be healed. Otherwise, wouldn't the man just have lain in the water until the next time? I'd be willing to lay in water for 24 hours, wouldn't you? When Jesus was walking by and chose just one of many people to speak with, he asked, "Do you want to be healed?" Now, is that a silly question? The man's been laying by this pool for 38 years. Obviously, he wants to be healed. Really? Why would Jesus ask a stupid question? Maybe the answer really wasn't obvious. Maybe he knew something that we don't. The scripture says that Jesus knew the man had been there for 38 years, but that wouldn't have been obvious to us if we were passing by. We wouldn't have known. The people around might have known if they'd been there that long, but Jesus knew it. And perhaps he chose the man because he'd been waiting the longest, but we'll never know why he chose him over others. The man did not answer Jesus directly. He didn't say, "Yeah, I want to be healed." It's not in there anywhere. Instead, what did he say? He explained why he hadn't been healed yet. He sort of gave a rationalization. He said, "I don't have anybody to take me to the water." And even though the man really didn't answer Jesus' question, he didn't say, "I want to be healed." Even though he didn't answer, Jesus healed him. Imagine being stuck in the same place for 38 years. Waiting to be healed. The man didn't work, he waited. He didn't care for a family, he waited. We don't know how he had money for food and other necessities, it doesn't tell us. Maybe he had become a beggar. Maybe he was dependent on other people. even though that would be difficult, it had become familiar. And we like the familiar, don't we? We don't like change. Oh, actually, I like any change that I initiate. Don't you? But I only like the change that I initiate. The man had no responsibilities. Nobody depended on him. He had no deadlines. He had no boss to answer to. He had no family to care for. And he had none to care for him. Even though we would say that's no way to live, after 38 years, it was the only life he knew. It was familiar. It had grown comfortable. He had his bed and maybe all of anything that he owned laying there with him. Have any of you ever been in the hospital for a long period of time or on bed rest for a long period of time? I know you have. Rita, recently you have. I have. Do you know what happens? If you don't lose it, you use it. Muscles atrophy, don't they? They weaken. The body gets used to being at rest, and it forgets how to move. Even the mind can atrophy during a long period of convalescence if you don't do things to stay sharp. That's the reason people go to rehab after hospitalization, in order to keep their muscle, to make their muscles remember how to do their jobs. It's a long road, rehab is. The first time you do the most minimal of things, it hurts. And Jesus asked him, "Do you want to be well?" The answer seems obvious. Of course, anybody would want to be well. Doesn't everyone want to be well? But the man didn't answer. Why wouldn't he be shouting, "Yes, Lord, I want to be healed," after 38 years? He doesn't know any other life and doesn't have a job or a trade. He doesn't know how to do anything for himself. Not only his muscles, but his brain, his spirit, everything about him has atrophied from disuse. Everything has shriveled from disuse. This man hadn't moved from that one place for 38 years. And Jesus told him to get up, pick up his mat, and walk. And he did. How many miracles is that? I count at least 6. Are you with me? The healing of his limbs, sure, that's the obvious one, right? The repair of the muscle tissue. How could he walk after 38 years of not walking, even if they were healed? Another miracle is his obedience. A stranger walks up to him and says, "Get up, take up your mat, and walk." And he does it. His obedience is a miracle. The miracle that people were expecting was for people to get in the pond and be healed, and Jesus doesn't use the pond. He just does it. That's another miracle. No pond. His muscles weren't used to lifting anything, and he picked up the bed. That's number 5. Or maybe that was 6. I don't know. I lost count. Being able to walk is a miracle. I'm sure there are more. What's clear is that Jesus provided healing for that man in more than one way that day. He restored his confidence as well. Is there anything from which you need to be healed? Is there anything you've been waiting a long time to be free of? Many of us are in that position, but often we don't recognize it. To those who would like to quit smoking, Jesus asks, "Do you want to be healed?" To those who live with anxiety every day of their lives, Jesus asked, "Do you want to be healed?" To those who overeat and live with the consequences, Jesus asks, "Do you want to be healed?" To those who have grieved the loss of a loved one far too deeply for far too long, Jesus asks, "Do you want to be healed?" What have you been tolerating for far too long inside yourself? What does Jesus want to heal in you? Do you want to be healed? There's an old African-American spiritual that takes some of its lyrics from this scripture. It invites people to wade in the water, the troubled water, the bubbling, healing water. "Do you want to be healed?" Jesus asks. Wade in the water. Wade in the water, children. Wade in the water. God's gonna trouble the water. See that host all dressed in white. God's gonna trouble the water. The leader looks like the Israelite. God's gonna trouble the water. Wade in the water. Wade in the water, children. Wade in the water. God's gonna trouble the water. Looks like the band that Moses led. God's gonna trouble the water. See that band all dressed in red. God's gonna trouble the water. Wade in the water. Wade in the water, children. Wade in the water. God's gonna trouble the water. Look over yonder and what do I see? The Holy Ghost a-coming on me. Wade in the water, wade in the water, children, wade in the water. God's gonna trouble the water. If you don't believe I've been redeemed, God's gonna trouble the water. Just follow me down to Jordan stream. God's gonna trouble the water. Wade in the water. Wade in the water, children. Wade in the water. God's gonna trouble the water. Why wouldn't everyone wade in the water? Perhaps because, like the man at the pool, They become so used to illness that being whole would be unfamiliar. Because maybe they just don't believe in miraculous healing. Or maybe they've never encountered the God of miracles or don't know how to ask. How about you? Are you facing a difficult disease, illness, or malady and want to cry out to God for healing but don't know what to pray? Maybe you feel scared, alone, unsure of the future. Maybe you have nobody to carry you down to the water. Or maybe you don't understand how healing works. God tells us that through prayer, he can speak to us and use us to work miracles for his glory. When you pray for healing, you must come to God completely surrendered and expect to let his Holy Spirit work in you and through you. I pray that you will find miraculous healing as you seek God's plan for your life, to prosper you and to give you a hope and future. Let us pray. God, you know me so well. You created me. You know the number of hairs on my head, and you even know the thoughts in my heart before I ever vocalize them. You've told us to come to you and ask for every need of life. You are Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, and you have the final word on my destiny, the number of years I'll live and serve you on earth. I'm coming to you today as your child, longing to hear from you and ask for your divine healing. There is so much I don't understand about life, but I do know that with one touch, one word, you can make me whole. Please forgive me of my sins, cleanse me of my unrighteousness, and begin your healing from the inside out. I don't always know what your will is, Lord, especially in times like now when I desperately seek your face. I offer you no promises, no bargains, no deals to exchange for my health. I simply bow my heart before you to tell you the desire of my heart, that I want to spend as many years as I can loving you, loving others, and wanting to become more like you. However you choose to accomplish that is up to you and okay with me. If you use doctors to provide healing, give them wisdom to know what to do. Regardless of how you accomplish it, the healing you give is always miraculous, and you deserve all the praise. I absolutely believe you have the power to heal. You demonstrated that on earth, and you still heal in miraculous ways today. Even when my faith is weak, you say it is enough. And my love for you is strong. And I know you already hold my heart and life in your hands. It's up to you. If I can bring you more glory through healing, then that's what I ask for. That's what I desire. But if your answer is no or not now, I know that your grace is sufficient for me. Ultimately, I want your will to be my will. I look forward to spending an eternity with you. But Lord, if you have planned still more for me to do here on this earth, I not only need and want your physical healing, but a thorough, deep down cleansing and strengthening, a wholehearted renewal of all that I am, because all that I am is yours. Use trials to strengthen me into a no matter what faith, and no matter what, I choose to honor you and give you glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.